spirit lead in this realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And a father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that light. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you, help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth.
This is Matt and Mom Live. It's real, it's raw, it's relevant. This show is about the topical, the conversational, but most importantly, the purposeful. We hope to develop and distribute hope to the broken. We pray that this show blesses you today. All right, we're back at it again. It's Matt and Mom Live. It's real, it's raw, it's relevant. Why? Because we're candid, we're conversational. We just try to go back and forth, Mom, really, with no script, just an idea. And usually the direction of the show goes completely away from where we intended, but we leave room for the Spirit of God to hopefully minister to the listeners from all across the world. And we want to thank you for listening in, for tuning in, for sharing this podcast with somebody that you feel needs hope. And that is our goal, Mom. Our goal is to develop and distribute hope.
Absolutely.
In such a broken world. So we've covered so much in the past 4 or 5 episodes. And if you do have time, you know, you can download the podcast to your iTunes and listen to it when you're either driving or when you're working out. 20 minutes. Catch up where we've been, and not for my sake. It's really for God's glory and how much he's brought me through, you through, and the characters that we introduced through. In fact, Little John just called me recently, and he was just so chipper. He's so happy. He's thankful that God has him where he has him. He's back on his feet. He says hello to the listeners, and you know, he's one of our favorites.
Yeah, and I want to also kind of give a shout out about your book, Matt. The book is called You May Be the Only Bible Someone Reads, Are You Legible? And it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And I will tell you, the feedback that I'm getting about the book is that it is a very extreme devotional. If you want to take a look in a mirror and see where you are as a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, what is that reflection saying to other people? And I would say, if you're looking for a devotional book out there, or if you're involved in youth ministries, or if you're a teacher at a high Christian school of any sort, any grade, middle school, high school, college, this book is profound, and it would really be an asset to your curriculum. Because for spiritual leadership training, I don't think there's anything like it out there. And yet, it's simple, Matt. You do it in such a simple way, and yet it's not pablum. There's some real chunky meat in this book. And you could chew on it and chew on it. And I know myself, I'm going to be teaching it at Bible study this fall. But I'm underlining it like crazy. And this is really not a prop towards Matt. Honestly, this book is a prop to the power of the Holy Spirit in Matt. This book was written in prison. I'm reading it. I'm his mom. And I will tell you, as I'm reading it, and I read it through, you know, more than once, because I am studying it, I'm saying, where in the world, other than through the Spirit of the living God, did some of these concepts come from?
Well, thank you, Mother.
And if you're local in our county, you can get it at Reeves Family Pharmacy. But other than that, Barnes & Noble, and it is available as an ebook.
Yes, it is, ebook nowadays. So, you know, you want to begin with the end in mind with a concept like this, which is self-reflection, self-examination, which is biblical. Look where you're at. Where do you stand in the faith you say you have? Is it surface or is it deep? And as I taught the students last night in Ocean City, which I'm the team leader, Mom, of student ministries at Coastal Christian Ocean City. So to have influence over their young minds is such a privilege. But I said to them, begin with the end in mind before we start going through the book. That's our curriculum. I said, if you were to be put on trial today for your faith, would they, whoever they may be, would they have enough evidence against you to convict you of being a Christian? Put yourself on the stand. I said, now remove yourself from the stand. Students, put your social media on the stand. What would your social media testify against you?
That's awesome.
And the kids were just like, I said, what would your Twitter feed say about you, who you are? How about your Facebook, your wall, what you like? What would it say about you, the person? How about your best friend? If we called him to the stand right now, what would he say about you? Then I taught them about the greatest tool they can possess in evangelism, in witnessing, is their very own example. It's their conduct. It's not what you say. It's what you do.
So that's what the book's about.
That's the entire book.
I love the whole idea of, am I legible? Are you legible is the subtitle. But I, of course, applying it to myself. And a person that just read the book that knew my sister went up to her and just simply looked at her. They worked together and just said, am I legible? So that's powerful, because that is where the rubber meets the road. And that's where Jesus says, put on love. If they can't see that in us, then no one wants to open that Bible that you're talking about if you're not living it.
Right. So several shows ago, that's the concept behind Little John coming to the Lord was he was waiting for the book that I was proclaiming to live by to come unraveled by my actions. And to God be the glory by his grace alone. I never gave Little John that opportunity to call me a hypocrite. Because you know what? I was one in the past. I knew what that was like to mislead people. I knew what that was like to misrepresent my faith. And I refused.
Which funny thing is, in this book that he wrote, he has a time. He starts each law out with a time when he was legible and a time when he was illegible. And I can tell you, as his mother, and I'm reading this book, I'm learning things about the times he was illegible that I'm like, oh my gosh, all my friends are going to be reading this. And my sister said to me the other day, did you read the part about when he was in the casino? I'm like, I know. I called him. I said, what the heck was that? So it is very real in terms of, you know what, you're very transparent. And I think we all appreciate that. And I want to remind people that sometimes those of us that don't have these outer sins, which is something I'm big on, because I never had outer sins. I didn't get drunk. I didn't get high. You know, I don't have anything that you could say are the bad sins, but those inner sins are just as bad. So the evaluation of yourself, whether it's pride, selfishness, gossip, judgment, they're important things to look at in your walk. And so they have me, as I'm reading your book, it applies. Am I legible?
Right.
Am I legible? So I just hope that y'all, you know, spread the word. If you like that book and you've gotten it, place it on your Facebook page or your social media and encourage others, because I think we have a movement going here. And I think it would be really cool if all of us Christians walked around and asked, how legible am I?
Right. You know, when you would correct or rebuke somebody in a loving way, especially when you had a rapport with them. We created an accountability network, not only while I was away, but even now while I'm out, certain individuals in my life, we keep each other accountable. And one of the things I would tell the guys, if I'm saying something or teaching something or vice versa, and it offends you, that right there is an indicator of something. If you are offended, I would say, don't get offended at what you just heard. Go on the offense based off what you just heard. Go on the offense. If you felt pricked for a reason, then do something about it. But a lot of people, they shut down, Mom. Oh, I'm offended. They called me out. Well, who? Like, what? Well, you got offended for a reason. Go on the offense. So,
you said to your brothers once, if it don't apply, let it fly.
I said that last night, too. If it don't apply, let it fly. If it convicts you, let it fix you.
They're good sayings.
And you know what? This is the reason why I love learning about analogies and how to tie them in with, you know, different responses, because they're so the same. The mentality of response based off of conviction, it's all the same. It's the blame game, the justification game, the I'm offended. And I used to say, listen, if there's a group of dogs behind me and I pick up the stone of conviction and I throw it aimlessly, blindly behind me, the dog that barks the loudest is the one that got hit.
That's good.
It's the dog that is barking the loudest. That's the one that got hit with the stone of conviction. And these guys would just look at me, man, because I was quick. And God gave me such wit where I just would use it for his glory. And that's the book. The book is very witty. And hopefully, if you can get your hands on it, use it as a devotional. Challenge yourself where you're at. And when you go out into the real world, know that the ultimate battle is for the soul. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is what are you standing on? How valuable is that foundation? And are you willing to go out on the limb when the majority is not?
Right. Or what happens when you're under persecution?
Right.
Do you stand firm? And that's gone all, a lot all over the country.
That's
I mean,
right.
There's stories about that. But I want to just start with something we left off in the last show, when basically you kind of said it in passing. You know, you could go to lockup in prison if they think that you violated their laws.
Sure.
And frankly, by you continuing the Bible study after this Bible study was ordered not to be held.
Right.
Anymore.
So let me hold your thought. The thought as well was, Matt, disobeying an order, was that rebellion? Was that disrespect? Or was that being going against the rules? And, you know, there's many biblical examples. We're told to be subject to the Bible says the king and the authority, right? But there's also examples where when that authority, when that ruling contradicts your biblical conviction, not your personal conviction. You can have a personal conviction and be wrong. When it violates what God says in His Word, then you're to stand up and trust that He'll take care of the consequences. And for example, there is a story in the Old Testament, the prophet Daniel. He's the one that wrote the book. And in that story, it goes out throughout that empire that nobody is to bow down or pray. And at the sound of a certain horn, the only honor given is to be to this big monument, this statue. Do you know who that king was, Mom?
Nebuchadnezzar?
Well, it was Nebuchadnezzar. But
it wasn't, or it was?
It was, but then the Emperor Darius took over. And Daniel had such a good rapport. Remember, he's a Jewish boy in a foreign land, but he carried himself with integrity. And he finds himself in a position of authority himself. So being that position, people couldn't stand Daniel. And when this king's decree went out, you know what? The people that wanted to see Daniel fall, they wanted to see him get locked up, essentially. They watched him. You know what he did? He didn't do this because of the decree. It wasn't like, I'm going to go fight this. No, he had already been doing this day in and day out. His routine was to go up on his rooftop, open the windows towards Jerusalem, and bow down in prayer. And this is what the naysayers saw. So they went and they reported to the king. And guess what the consequence was for that?
The lion's den.
The lion's den. Throw him in the lion's den. So I say all that to say, I wasn't starting a Bible study downstairs just to prove a point. No, I had been doing it every day for 4.5 years. So I wasn't going to let that alarm stop that biblical conviction, which the gospel must go out. But yeah, there was a possibility of me getting locked up for that. And I always kept saying in my mind, if that's where you need me, Lord, that's where you'll send me.
See, there's a key point right there. And I think people need to hear that because of the growing oppression that's happening in our country when it comes to religious freedom, that people need to hear, Lord, whatever the consequences are, I'm standing on your promises. And if something happens, and sometimes it's even a loss of a job, and God will provide. And there's times when we need to stand and we need to continue on in what God has laid on our hearts. And that's what you guys did. So it makes you wonder, how can people get more strengthened to stand upon their promises of God?
Yeah, but I just got to read something real quick. I got to look it up. It says, Daniel in the lines that, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And here's the clincher. As was his custom since early days.
Right.
He refused to stop because of what he believed in. And in a world today where it does tell us not to bow down, it actually tells us to bow down to what it has to offer. And a lot of times, because of the peer pressure or the persuasion of the masses, it's so easy to fit in. And, you know, it's hard. It wasn't easy, but I always say in my mind, especially in certain settings that I go into now, which being in a majority setting and you can't really proclaim your faith openly because of it being secular, I'm talking about the speaking engagements I now do. Man, I always say, it'd be so easy to just sit in the audience and listen. And just nod at the message that is coming out and just looking at your peers and saying, oh, that sounded good, but not doing anything about it. So I go the extra step with these students and I say, hey, you may be the one listening to the message. And what are you willing to do with it? Because guess what? The people next to you, they're not going to be there with you in that moment where you have to make a decision to stand up on integrity, to be accountable. It's almost like charging them as an individual to know that the people around you, you can't even trust them. It has to come from the inside of you. And do you have what it takes? So, you said, you know, the possibility of somebody losing a job. What does that look
businesses,
like?
I mean, they're today there's threats to businesses if they, for their hiring practices. There really is a constricting of religious freedom that's going on. But I guess the key point that one of the things you brought up was, if don't take a religious issue on just for the whole idea of, I'm going to fight this because I'm a Christian.
Right.
If you have been doing that and that has been your principle, then stand on it. But don't all of a sudden be like, well, I'm not hiring those type of people just because, you know, now. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think it's important that people truly live the conviction of what God has placed in them.
That's
so
right.
Don't just pick up convictions from the world. But it is really, really, it's not easy. It's not easy to stand. As they say, a fish, it's easy to go upstream. No, take that back. It's easy to go downstream, but it takes a whole lot of strength to go upstream, go against the tide.
Right.
And so there's people that have to step out and be those types of people, those voices that encourage, like you do with the kids. Stand up. Be that one with conviction.
Right. Yeah, you know, It's practical, really. You see something that's wrong. You see something as unjust. It's in those moments where you have the ability, you have the empowerment to do something about it. And I'm not talking about taking arms and fighting and like you said, just standing up for a cause because everybody else is doing it. I'm talking about the deep-rooted conviction that you feel in the pit of your stomach. And truthfully, that conviction can never grow or gain momentum if you're not in the Word of God. The Spirit that God put inside of us needs to be fed by His Spirit. If you're only reading the Word of God, it's only ink on paper. It must get on the inside of you. It must go from the mind to the heart. And that's where the conviction comes in, where you firmly believe. And Jesus said it. He said, you know, if you'll talk about me in front of men, I'll talk about you to my Daddy in heaven. You'll think about what He said there. If you are unashamed to talk about me, how I changed your life, how I entered your life, how I cleaned up your life, how I forgave you, if you are ashamed to tell your coworkers about that, you're not pushing Jesus on them. You're telling them how Jesus changed you. If you're ashamed to tell your teammates, your classmates, your peers about me, then I can't talk to Daddy about you. And I think that's Jesus's greatest desire, to tell the Father in heaven, He's with me. He's mine. Look at him down there. I could see Vic used to come in and he was so animated. He would be like Jesus talking to the Father. He'd be like, look at my boy down there. Hey Daddy, do you see my boy down there? You see my boy Sean down there? He's standing up for you, for me. He's talking about me. He's glorifying you. And he would just like put on this show about the scene that's taking place in heaven when you stand up for Jesus.
Well, that's cool. I like that.
So hopefully this will help you out. You know, you'd much rather stand alone with Jesus than to sit in the crowd without Him. And I read this morning, and I'll share it with you guys as we close. To know Christ is the greatest achievement of life. Do you know Him? He wants to know you. Please continue to tune in to these shows. It's Matt and Mom Live. We close all shows with Psalm 46:10. God says, be still and know that I am in control. We thank you. We hope that you continually tune in.
Which way are you going? Yahweh, you don't know Him. I answered his calling. Y'all people ain't knowing. He breathed in my lungs and spared me from Satan. And now that I love, even my loved ones they hate. Waiting patiently, pacing for me to fall on my face. But I'm falling in faith. Pardon me for his grace. There's a battle out there, spiritually in this realm. There's a God up in heaven. There's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And the father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that light. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you. Help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth. From I've been there. So I know where you're going. Listen, listen, listen. You guys that are running the street, y'all think y'all doing something different.
Nah.
Don't you know they've been watching that block that you're on since before my time?
Wow.
So what makes you think that you're doing something different? You want to do something different? Put your faith in Christ. I've been there.